Am I on?
You are on.
Do you know what? I just think it's amazing. You know, you come to a church and Reese is given a word of knowledge. You get the prophecies, you get the teaching, you get the encouragement, you get the... When we're all part of this same community, and I just love it. I love it. We may be different churches, but actually we're all part of the same one church. And I just think, thank you, Andrew and Susan, for asking me to talk today. I feel very honoured. I feel very privileged because, you know, it's not often I get asked to speak, and I may not be asked back, actually. May not be asked back, so I'm very well aware of that. There was a little boy playing in the foyer of a very large and very beautiful church, and as he was playing, he was making rather a lot of noise, and the pastor, who had his rather smart, you know, study office upstairs, came down and found this child playing and walked over to him, and he said... Hello, who are you? And the little lad told him, and then he said, well, you're obviously waiting for somebody. Would you like me to show you around this church while you wait? So the lad said, oh, yeah, that'd be nice. So, you know, the pastor took him round, took him into the main body of the church and showed him where the pulpit was and showed him where the high altar was and showed him where the vestry was. And they were, you know, they'd had a really lovely tour of all the different special places in this church. And then they got to this board that had, you know, a list of names on it. And the little lad looked at it and he said, well, who are all these people on this board? And the pastor said, well, they're the ones who've gone before us and died in service. And the little lad said, oh, he said, which service was that then, the morning service or the evening service? Oh, dear. And there's, you know, I think a man knocked on his friend's door to find that he wasn't there for the dinner that they'd planned to have together. And so he left a note, he left a sign on the door, which was from Revelation 3, verse 20, which read, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. And then the man left. A little later, getting out of the shower, his friend saw the sign and smiled to himself and went and put a sign on his door, which had Genesis 3, verse 10. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I've got a really rather one of my favourite texts to speak on today, and it's absolutely... the most amazing text. It comes in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. And for me, it's like where the Old Testament merges into the New Testament. It's the old covenant of God, and it merges with the new covenant that Jesus Christ bought with coming to earth and dying on the cross and rising again. These are really good, strong Christian words, guys. So I'm sorry, you know, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. So, and it's a wonderful verse. And it came when God, he gave these words. He said these words to Solomon when Solomon had finished the temple, the beautiful building that the Israelites had built to God. And God said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. One of the reasons I love this is because it moves the very first at the beginning, moves us from the Old Testament to the New with I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. In the New Testament, it talks about us as being a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. One of the things that we were talking about last week at campus was when you become a Christian, it says in Revelation, when you come to God, he says, come buy gold, buy white clothes, and buy eye salve from me. And the only reason, the only way that you can buy those things from God is what? Is how? How can you buy them from God? You give your life to him. That's the only way you can buy from him, by giving yourself to him. That's what he wants. That's the currency he wants. He wants you. And so by giving yourself to him, he then makes you into a temple for himself to come and dwell in by his Holy Spirit. And this is why in this verse, it's incredible. I have heard your prayer and I've chosen you. I've chosen this place. I've chosen you for myself as a temple for sacrifice. I just love it that he's chosen me as a temple for himself. And it sets us up for the next bit of information, which is God says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. It's not if. Not if I shut up the heavens and there will be no rain. He says, when I shut up the heavens so there is no rain. People, very often I hear like questions like, why do things go wrong? I don't know if you know Brian and Molly Doy, any of you. I've known them for a long time. They live in Hilgi. And Brian led Hilgi Silver Band for a long time, and Molly was the secretary for it for 20 years. Lovely, lovely couple. She's a really, really beautiful woman. And I discovered one of the reasons why she was so beautiful, because I didn't realise she had such a lovely, strong Christian faith. And I went to her funeral in Hilgi last week, and while she was there, her daughter, while the funeral was going on and Molly's coffin was there, her daughter asked the question. She stood up and gave a speech. She said, why? Why did God take her from me now? Why does evil happen? Why do you get a cold or you get the flu? Why do you have a car accident? Why do earthquakes happen? Why did the town of Paradise burn down in California? Why did my friend die of cancer? Why did my mother have cancer and not die? Why was my son born so ill? And why did he not die? Why is he still alive? I'm sure all of you have had ghastly things happen to you. And God says, but the reason is that God says when. When these things happen, how you and how I react to what God is doing is up to me. How I react to the evil that I see around me and I have that has happened to me, you know, that's up to me, how I react to that. But God says, when these things happen, how I react to, is up to me. But God says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. When I was at school, I went to a boarding school when I was 8 years old. My father was in the army, and true to form, most army brats, most service children are sent off to boarding school. They used to be, they're not anymore, but they used to be sent off to boarding school. I went off to boarding school when I was 8 until I was nearly 18, so 10 years at boarding school. And it was a wonderful, in many ways, a wonderful Christian school. We used to have services every day. It was a missionary school. And we used to sit down, like everyone's sitting down now, and we used to sit down for the most of the service, and then, when it came to pray, we'd all stand up, turn round, face the other way, and kneel to pray. So we'd have our backs to the front. And we all used to, at least I used to pray. I used to pray. I used to put my head down, and I used to pray. The staff included, everyone used to stand up, turn round, get on their knees, and pray. They would humble themselves before God. And I never thought anything of it. I was trained to stand up, to kneel down, to pray. And the question that came to me when I thought about humbleness, what is humbleness? What's humbleness? Come on, tell me what you think humbleness is. Silence. What? Yeah. Submission of yourself. Lovely. Yeah. Submission of yourself. It's a bit like wisdom, actually, humbleness, because it's a doing word. It's what you do. It defines who somebody is. It's you're not proud. You're not arrogant. You're submissive. You're someone who has a modest view of yourself. On Radio 2 the other day, I heard the story of the Queen when she was first married. And the Duke of Edinburgh, as we all know, loves to drive fast. Loves to drive fast. And yes, and he had without, yes, probably. I don't know about that bit, but he used to have a collection of sports cars. And do you know what? I think if I was married to the Queen of England or the King of England, I would probably live a bit if I wanted to, because I think it must be a pretty ghastly job in many ways. But anyway, he had a series of sports cars, and he had one sports car, and he was out driving one day with Lord Mountbatten and the Queen, as you do. And he was driving extremely fast. And Lord Mountbatten said to him, you know, slow down, old chap, slow down, you're going a bit fast. And the Queen was sort of going, ooh, ooh, ooh. And at one stage, he took no notice of Lord Mountbatten. At one stage, he turned to her and he said, if you carry on making that noise like that, I'm going to stop the car and put you out. So anyway, they got to the end of the journey and Lord Mountbatten turned round to Her Majesty and said, you know, he's talking to you like this. He said, Why don't you tell him to slow down? You're the Queen. Yes, she said, but you heard what he said. He would put me out. And that showed that when I read that story, not only did it demonstrate to me that she, as a woman, had managed to separate her job from her marriage, but also the fact that she was in submission to him. She was humble to her husband. And I just thought, you know what, even she got it right. She got it right, even though it was a difficult thing. I'm not sure I would do it. But anyway, I'm probably, if I'm honest, I'm probably the fast driver in our family. But so if my people who are called by my name, we're called Christians, Christians. If my people who are called by my name, Christians, humble themselves and pray. How do you guys pray? How do you guys pray? I remember seeing a pastor of a previous church I went to absolutely curled up on the floor, rocking before God. And there have been times when I've been absolutely, especially when we first started campus, and I didn't know these lovely kids. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to communicate Jesus. I just wanted to be part of their lives. And I so very often my prayers were, oh God, oh God, oh God. And actually, oh God, it's okay. Because he knows our hearts. But the Bible says you can just go into your room, shut the door, and speak to your Father in heaven, who knows all things. That's okay too. You can do that as well. If my people who are called by their name, my name, humble themselves, kneel down and pray, seek my face. I don't know about you. Are you a YouTube watcher? Are any of you YouTube watchers? I love YouTube. I really love YouTube. My son Francis is a musician. Most of the stuff he knows, he learnt off YouTube. And has practiced. And it's a vast, vast ocean of information. It's not, some of it's, there's a real dark side to it too. But one of the things I have a passion for watching, and this is really, is I love stories about people who have lost their family and then find them again. There's a story of three triplets, who were adopted out separately in America. And they found themselves again. One brother found another brother by accident because they went to the same college. And then they found there was a third brother. And they then found their mother. And they spent years seeking each other's faces. They knew something was missing. There's another story of a mother finding her adopted twin daughters. An adopted daughter who finds her biological father. An adopted son who finds his biological mother. And the sorrow of not finding. Some people don't find their families. And the Lord says, if you seek my face, these people seek the faces of those they've loved and lost. There's one story about a GI who went to North Korea, married a North Korean woman. Married a Korean woman and had twins with her. And then when he went back to America after the war, she wouldn't let him take the babies with him because she wasn't allowed to go. The Americans didn't consider the marriage valid. And so she wasn't allowed to go with him. So she kept the twins. And then years later, he suddenly woke up to the fact that he had these children and he hadn't seen them. He hadn't seen his kids. And so he spent thousands of dollars and hours and hours of time and people doing detecting work to find these kids. To be honest, I haven't watched the end of the story and I don't know whether he found them. I don't know. Maybe not. Because sometimes the stories are actually left open. But what I'm saying to you is the Lord says, seek my face. Seek my face. If you've got stuff in your life that is tripping you up, taking your time, get rid of it. And seek his face. Find out what he looks like. Find out what God looks like. The next one is turn from your wicked ways. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Do you know what a wicked way is? It's having a cup of coffee rather than saying your prayers. That's a wicked way. It's not necessarily, you know, smoking dope, getting drunk every Saturday night, doing the things that we shouldn't do, adultery, all the rest of it. It's not that. It can be the simple thing that keeps you from doing God stuff, what we call God stuff. I love the last bit of this. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a big question. What's your land? Heal their land. Is it our country? Is our land our country? Or what is it? Is it our government? Is it our bank balance? I see my land as my inheritance. It's my children. It's my business. It's my network of friends. It's my garden. It's my way of life. It's what brings me joy. What makes me happy. But it also affects those around me. So my children are blessed. My business grows. When God heals my land, my children are blessed. My business grows and develops. My network of friends increases and gets well and stays well. My flowers grow and my way is functional and peaceful. I become functioning and peaceful when I'm healed, when the land is healed. The joy in my life becomes slower, not faster. I think it becomes slower and it becomes richer and it becomes kinder. And I am healed. And God says, my eyes will be opened. He says, my eyes will be open. God has a thing about eyes. I wear glasses and I'm incredibly short-sighted. But that gives me incredibly microscopic sight because I can see things really well up close. So I can do, you know, tiny stitches and things if I want to. But God has a thing for eyes. In Revelation, he talks about to buy gold, to wear white clothes, and to buy eye salve. To heal your eyes. So many people, our little Aaron who's gone out, when he arrived in our care, one of his eyes was blind. He couldn't see with it at all. And over the last year, we've done what the optician said, but the optician said to me, I don't think it'll ever get better because he's too old. Turn it off, darling. He's too old to have this sight returned to his eye. So, but they said, you can do this and see what happens. He now has, not only can he see out of that eye, but he also has 3D vision, which they said would never come. That is God. That is God. You know, God has healed his eye in the last year. And I just am blown away by it. I just want to pray for you guys, and then I'll finish. Let's pray. Oh God, I'm going to get on my knees actually. If you want to too, you can. Oh God, you are the hearer of prayers. You are the restorer of minds. You are the healer of bodies. You are the healer of lands. We are your children. And we just ask you for your Holy Spirit to come and fill our temples with your power and your joy and your strength, that as we go out from this place, that we will be light and salt in the communities that we live in. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bring your blessing on this wonderful church with these amazing people. I thank you for all that is happening in this church and happens, and the blessings that happen as a result of it. And if you feel the Holy Spirit now, just open your heart and open your mind to him and let him fill you with his peace. And I pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.